This podcast is part of the BombPod Media Network.
Hi friends, welcome to another subscribe-worthy episode of The Media Matters. I'm your host Chantel and I'm here with the lovely Miss Marie Rose. And tonight we're talking ghost stories, one of my favorite pastimes. Now, this is not the listener ghost stories. This is the ghost stories of ghost stories of ghost stories. Now, we really did just find some really cool ghost stories that we wanted to share with you guys because I love a good ghost story and who doesn't? But before we jump into all of that deliciousness, I do want to take a second to shout out my BombPod Media family, my Fright family, my Pod World family, and all the kick-ass podcasts I listen to, like, love, subscribe, review, stalk, whatevs. I always shout out and show podcasts and podcasters much love because I so appreciate their shows and their hard work and their undying dedication. Thank you for churning out fantastic content, every single one of you. You make my world go round, 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 round. Make sure you check out the BombPod Media family for stellar podcasts, exclusive content, updates, and so much more. Follow BombPod Media on Twitter at BombPod Media, on Facebook at BombPod, and at bombpodmedia.com for the rest of the goodness. And while you're checking out the BombPod family and the rest of the incredible podcast the world has to offer, please be sure to subscribe to and leave them a review on iTunes. And don't forget to do the same for The Media Matters, yours truly. We all appreciate the recognition for our hard work and that others find our shows because of your reviews. So you guys, we're right smack in the middle of October and I am loving it because you know this is my month. But as luck would have it, Marie and I both ended up in Houston for work and we'll be here for a good long while. So tell me that's not the universe aligning, because that's exactly what my lovely Marie Rose wanted. We knew she was coming here first. We knew I was coming at some point, but I followed very quickly. So I am super duper missing home and missing my family. However, this is a lot more bearable because I get to continue talking to you guys and emailing with you guys and tweeting and Facebooking and whatever. So that really does make things a lot easier because it's like I get to bring home with me. So I really appreciate that, you guys. And if any of our fellow podcasters are here in Houston and want to meet up, make sure you reach out and let us know because you know we love our podcasters. So you guys, let's get on with the goodness, down to the nitty gritty, and tell some ghost stories. You in? I'm in. All right, on with the show.
So as promised, you guys, we are coming at you with some ghost stories. So this is not the episode, like I said before, it's not the episode with our listener ghost stories. These are other ghost stories that Marie and I found that were just, you know, too interesting to pass up. So I don't, with the exception of like one, we don't know any of these people, right?
Yeah, of all the ghost stories that I have, there's one that was a friend of mine's personal account from where we grew up.
Yeah. I was thinking, trying to remember, like, I mean, I've talked a little bit about the place where I lived when I, you know, was a winner and used the Ouija board. And I was trying to think of like some, I know there's like all kinds of stuff that I haven't even quite recalled yet, but I was remembering that like at my parents' house. So like I was in the kitchen/dining room area one day with my mom, and my mom is standing at the kitchen sink doing dishes, and like we're the only ones in the house and we're talking about whatever, and I'm sitting at the dining room table and I hear movement above my head and I look up and I'm like, what the? I'm trying to figure out like the layout of the house, what would be upstairs from us, and it's my parents' bedroom.
Okay.
And so my mom just keeps talking and I hear the noise again. And it sounds like someone's walking around.
And nobody else heard it? Just you?
It's just me and my mom in the house. And so it sounds like somebody's walking around. And I'm like, is somebody else in the house that I didn't even know of? Like one of my brothers or my dad or whatever. And my mom just keeps talking. And then it sounds like a drawer has opened. You know, like you can hear, you know, one of the drawers on the nightstand or something. And I'm like, is she like not hearing this? And then like, I don't want to scare her and be like, Mom, I think somebody's in the house. But she somehow, like, I ended up saying something and I go, Mom, is somebody else in the house? And she's like, no, it's just us. And I tell her that I'm hearing this stuff and she's looking at me like she's not surprised. And I'm like, does this happen often? She goes, no, not often, but it does happen here and there.
So she heard it too. She just chose to ignore it?
I guess so. I'm like, listen, no, this is what? Yeah, like somebody walking around. But this is after my grandma had passed. And I mean, prior to that, it hadn't happened. My mom's got she's got some stories about that house. A house
that probably do a whole episode around your mom.
A house that you have visited. Yes. We could. I told my mom she should come do an episode with us.
Yeah.
Because she's got some stories.
You could do a whole episode with her.
Mm-hmm. We could.
Just give her a couple glasses of wine and put a microphone in.
She doesn't even need it. She doesn't even need it. Don't even try to get creative. She's good without it.
Oh, I love your mom.
Mm-hmm. She's the best mama. So anyway, let's get down to some nitty gritty. So in this situation, I don't know who was roaming around upstairs, but somebody was roaming around and opening drawers and stuff. Maybe, you know, cleaning, tidying up.
You think maybe it was your grandmother?
Maybe. My mom sure did.
That's why she ignored it.
Mm-hmm. She's like, oh, yeah. I'm like, what?
Or she was doing the same thing as you and trying not to scare you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And just trying to be all calm about it.
No, because she'll tell me. And my mom's a big chicken. She is. Retired Marine Corps, but you'd never know it. You'd never know it. No, if she's scared, she'll tell me. But she wasn't. She was just like super chill about it. Just washing dishes.
So she just accepts it and that's life and that's who we are and move on.
Yeah. Like since my grandma's been gone and in my mom and dad's house, they have right next to the refrigerator, they have their trash can that has one of those lids like you just kind of, you know, it like seesaws or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You just kind of push down on the front.
Right.
It goes in, you put the trash in and the lid like pops back up.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like right at the edge of the kitchen and you can almost kind of see it from like some of the other rooms. And after she left, every now and then you can hear the lid of that trash can. Like you can hear it like pop back up.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
The haunted trash can.
Right. I'm like, why the trash can? But I'm like, maybe that's like one of the things that makes sounds like such a distinct sound that you would know immediately what it is instead of being like, what was that?
It probably doesn't take much energy to hit it.
Right. Right. It's so light. Mm-hmm. Yes. Very crazy. Some crazy stuff in that house. Anyway, so here are some stories that we have found because it's Halloween time. It's October.
Scary.
Mm-hmm. And it was a dark and stormy night. It was supposed to storm tonight, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think we got the stormy afternoon instead.
Mm. Okay. Anyway, so here's what one person had to say. When my daughter was 2, I found her twirling paper towel tubes tied with twine in the air. I asked what she was doing. She said she was practicing her nunchucks.
Aww.
I know. I was very confused as she'd have no way of knowing what they were. I asked her what she meant and she said that Adam had told her how to make them and showed her each night how to use them. She went on to say that Adam told her to practice because she may need to know how to defend herself someday. I almost freaked out but asked her what Adam looked like. She said he was tall, blonde, and had blue eyes. She said, Mommy, you know what he looks like. You know him. He died of a headache. I had to leave the room. You see, 4 months before she was born, my tall, blonde, blue-eyed martial arts pro friend had died of a brain aneurysm at the age of 27. She has not spoken of him since that day, so I'm not sure if I scared her with my reaction or if she had completed her lessons.
Oh, gosh, I got goosebumps and chills. Isn't that crazy?
I know. Kids are super intuitive.
Yes, they are. It's a shame that we lose it as we get older.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
It makes me sad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because I think a lot of times adults are just accustomed to saying like, oh, there's nothing there. You know, when like they're talking to a kid that's coming to them with like whatever.
Right. Because they don't want to deal with it.
Mm-hmm. Or they genuinely believe there's nothing there. So they're like, you know, knock it off.
Right. I'm busy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You tune it
I'm
out.
I'm busy. I'm watching the game. I'm right. busy working, whatever.
Mm-hmm. So I think it's really cool when people foster that and they're like, you did. What is it?
Yeah.
You know, not just like super shrug it off. But I mean, I can see both sides. I really can.
Yeah.
So, you know, whatever works for you. But I thought that was kind of a cool story.
That is a cool story.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I have a friend who recently moved to this area. We actually went to high school together in South Carolina. So it was neat for him to come down here. And I met his wife. Just, oh my God, she's just so adorable. Well, you know, we're hanging out on the beach, telling stories, reminiscing, you know, finding out who happened, you know, what happened with who and, you know, what's so-and-so doing now and whatnot. And in one of the stories, he was asking me, he said, do you remember Thomas Sumter's grave? I was like, well, of course I do. It's where all the teenagers went and hung out because it was supposed to be haunted.
Did you go?
Yeah, I went.
Really?
But nothing ever happened while I was there.
Oh,
I mean, it was Spanish moss hangs from the trees.
And, ooh.
You know,
it's just, that's got creepy written all over it.
Yeah, it does. It's a pretty creepy, creepy thing. But no, nothing ever happened when I was there. However, when Eddie went one time, he said him and our other friend, Philip, you know, they had a couple of girls from school and they all got into Philip's little sports car and drove down there and Philip and his lady friend stayed in the car and
his lady friend
and Eddie and his girl that he was trying to impress went outside and was walking toward Thomas Sumter's wife's grave, and it's encased in a little brick house, and there's a opening on each side of the building, but the door has a wrought iron gate on it, so nobody can get in. So they're walking up to the building, and he is trying to tell her, "Oh yeah, this place is haunted," and try to scare her a little bit. Well, as they're walking up to the structure, a red orb comes out from inside the little brick building over the wrought iron fence and is hovering there. And do you think Eddie stuck around to make sure that his little maybe girlfriend mm-hmm. was okay? He said no. Mm-mm. He screamed and turned around, mm-hmm. ass and mm-hmm. elbows, ran back mm-hmm. to the car.
And the only time he semi-turned around was to be like, girl, you better keep up.
So he gets to the car and the doors are locked.
Oh no.
And what, the door,
were the other two doing the nasty?
Well, no, he said that the door, he left the back doors unlocked, and this car was too old to have the automatic door locks.
Wait, where were the friends that were supposedly in the car?
They were in the front and they were trying to unlock the doors and couldn't.
They were locked in?
Yes.
Oh, creep.
And he's trying to get in and he's yelling.
They're locked in. He's locked out.
Open the door. And
there's the cursed red orb.
What's going on? You know, we can't get it open. So they finally, the doors, he said he could see the thing.
My heart rate is up.
The little pins that you push down, you know, the door locks popped up. He opens the door, jumps in, and he starts screaming, leave, you know, we gotta leave.
Where's the girl?
And well, the girl is not far behind him. He says he's jumping in the car and he feels somebody jump in behind him on top of his back.
Oh, sweet Jesus.
And they're like, run, you know, leave, Flora, get out of here.
Was it her?
Yeah, the girl. Oh, yeah, the girlfriend jumps
in. He like turns around and there's somebody there.
Well, he totally left her in the dust.
Jeez.
He did not give her a second thought.
And he did not get a second date.
No, he did not. And so they hightail it out of there and they've never been back since.
Sorry, I had to yawn.
Yeah, he told me that story and I was in tears laughing so hard.
Dude, I can say this. Sean will never leave me behind.
Even if he saw a red orb?
No, he would grab me by the arm or whatever he can put like his hand on. Might be a boob. And he'd be like, you better run like you've never run in your life. He is all about like, let's make sure we make it out of this alive, which so am I. Like, who's not? Oh, please kill me.
No.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Okay, so they did not stick around long enough to figure out if this orb was a positive or a negative. They ran.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Because I've told you about the red orb in my room, right?
Right.
So this, like, it shows up all the time. Just the other night.
Does Sean ever see it?
Mm-mm. I want to say, like, I'm always alone.
Or he sleeps through it.
Yes, because I think I think now that you say that, he has been in the room before, but usually I'm by myself and I like kind of wake up and it's in the room, like the room is lit up on one side.
And you've researched this, you know what this red orb means.
I've researched and I have an idea, but I don't know definitively. Like, I've meditated, I've asked for my guides and angels or whoever to, you know, come into my dreams and give me the answer. And I mean, I guess right now I just don't need to know what it is. It doesn't feel negative. It's just jarring when I open my eyes and my room is red and I'm like, what the? And it's like I can see it fade away, like
something's coming in to check on you. And
I don't know,
says goodnight and moves on.
I don't know. Like the other night I was having a hard time falling asleep. And I would like doze off and then wake up and I kept thinking I could see somebody standing in my room, like by the door. And I'm like, oh no, it's just like the darkness of the door. But it wasn't, like I could see like part of a figure or something.
Yeah.
And so, you know, in my mind, I'm like, you need to go, like good or bad. This is my personal space. And I kind of go through my thing and I, you know, we'll call in Archangel Michael, you know, clear my space out and all that stuff. And one of those times that I had woken up, because it seemed like for the first 2-3 hours, that's how it was. Like I just kept like dozing and waking and dozing. Like it was so frustrating. And then one of those times that I had woken up, like right on that same side of the room, I saw like the red orb. And it's not just like an orb, like a picture, you guys. This is like, this thing takes up some space.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, no, it's big. It's really big. And it was just like over there by the wall. And then it got smaller and went away.
It goes poof?
No, it just like, you know.
Dissolves?
Yeah, if it's like, I don't know, 10 feet wide, let's say. Mm-hmm. I can see it like shrink down. And it's almost like the color doesn't concentrate or anything. It just like gets smaller, like this like red, almost like translucent kind of.
And you don't get scared?
Mm-mm. It's a little jarring when I wake up and see it, but it's not, I'm not like, oh my God, what is that? I'm like, oh. And then I just.
You again.
It's you. I go back to sleep. That's usually what goes down. But yeah, like where my room is dark or mostly dark because I can't sleep in the pitch black. I just can't do it.
Oh, so it's your own little nightlight. Yep.
It is. It's my Care Bear nightlight.
Right.
Care Bear stare. Do you remember the Care Bears?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's what it is. It's my own private party. Yeah. You're right. Yeah, no, I have the, what's it called? The diffuser where I put the essential oils.
Okay.
And when I go to bed, that is on. And then I have...
Wait a minute. You don't turn on the light to your diffuser, do you?
No.
So, oh, God.
Sean would kill me. That thing is like an alien spacecraft. It is so bright.
Right?
There's no way. No. It's just like the tiny little orange light that says that it's on. So it's that. And then I have a frankincense and myrrh incense stick lit. And then I have like the little...
So you've got a diffuser and your incense going on?
Mm-hmm. I do.
That's a lot of stuff going on.
And then like right behind the diffuser is my wax warmer.
Oh, you got that going on too?
That I have strictly for the light. because that's, I got that from one of the parties I went to at your house.
Okay.
And it has like the little holes all around the side.
Right.
So it emits light. And that's why I have it. I cannot sleep in the pitch black. You, no. Mm-mm. Not even a little bit.
See, for me, the darker the better.
I can't do it. I can't have it super bright, but I need to see stuff. I need to be able to see.
No, I don't. It doesn't matter. You're going to close your eyes anyway.
Mm-mm. But when you open them in the night, you can't even tell that they're open if it's so dark.
Yeah, I don't have
Is that how you sleep?
I sleep as dark as possible.
No way. I thought we were meant for each other.
I think there's enough natural light that comes into my room, you know, moonlight mm-hmm. and whatever. I mean, mm-mm. just. Mm-mm.
I don't believe you. If I could have more light, like maybe open the blinds a little so the moonlight comes in,
yeah,
I'd be happy. And Sean is like, you need to close that, like shut this party down.
Even moonlight?
Yeah, like it, I mean, it gets pretty bright. It can be bright.
Yeah,
especially like the full moon. Oh, it's so pretty.
Ooh.
So pretty.
See, I think that's awesome.
Mm-hmm. And the window's like right on my side of the bed.
I just like the natural light that comes in.
I do too.
I'm good with that.
Mm-hmm. I do too.
And I like opening my eyes and the first thing I see are the trees outside mm-hmm. or sunlight.
Are your blinds open when you sleep?
Yeah. Well, they're open halfway and.
Oh, they're pulled up.
Yeah, they're pulled up.
That doesn't creep you out?
No, because there's a sunroom on the other side. Mm. So it's not like it's directly to the yard.
Okay.
But yeah, there's the sunroom and it's all good.
Interesting. We really got off topic there.
Yeah, right? scary.
Talking about how I'm still afraid to sleep in the dark. And I am. I'm not ashamed to say it. I don't like the dark. If you guys have a cool night light that you think I might like, you can send it to me.
That won't disturb the hubby.
Yes. That will not disturb him. I ended up getting, like, before I had the diffuser and my incense, I had a Bath & Body Works like wall plug-in,
yeah,
but with the nightlight,
yeah,
because I'm like, no, I need light in this room. You are kidding me.
So that red orb is just, maybe it's just your psyche saying, I need light.
Nightlight, please. Yes.
Okay.
I think it is.
So, ghost stories.
All right, back to the ghost stories.
Scary ghost stories. Mm-hmm.
Scary. Okay. So we're driving from Tijuana to Sonora late at night. I fall asleep and wake up hearing my mom say, is that real? How can they drive that way? And my dad just replying, I don't know. Why would he be driving like this at this hour? I opened my eyes a little bit and saw a very creepy school bus driving in front of us at the middle of the desert with all the windows broken and pieces of plastic all around.
Weird.
I know. My parents decided to pass the bus because he was going slower than we were. It was dark, so we couldn't see who was driving. He hit the accelerator and left the creepy bus behind. We waited at a rest stop about 45 minutes for the bus to pass. The road had no turns, so you had to pass this gas station. It never did.
It broke down. Sounds like it was a piece of crap.
I'm thinking like a ghost bus and you're like, it's a piece of crap.
It's a crappy school bus with broken windows. It broke down in the middle of the desert.
I know. Thank God for you. Because I'm thinking like Jeepers Creepers with the school bus, which I know you've not seen that, but that's what I'm thinking. I'm like, oh my God. It's the ghost bus. And you're like, I don't know what broke. I'm trying to think of a car part.
That's why it was going so slow. The poor bus was going, I think I can't. I'm done.
Listen, on a road that long with nothing around, do you think I'm driving that freaking thing? No. Not even a little bit. Mm-mm. No. I'll be like, the only way I'm going to ride in this bus is if like I'm hitched to a tow truck. And then I'll just be sitting there on Twitter. No. Mm-hmm. All right. You're up.
Okay. So the Moundsville Penitentiary.
And penitentiary is always creepy.
Yes, in West Virginia.
Ooh.
It was in operation for 100 years. Oh. And was home to America's most violent criminals.
Really? I thought they always say that. I don't believe them.
I know. About a thousand criminals died there.
They died there?
What
the crap? Yeah,
they lived in very cramped areas, which led to riots. So many of the prisoners were hanged or killed in the electric chair or murdered by other prisoners.
Dang.
Yep.
Wait, riots were started because they lived in such close proximity?
Well, I mean, you figure you had, you know, how many men in a little area? Yeah, they're going to get pissed off.
Oh, you want to pick people off so you have more elbow room.
Yeah, it could be. But the prison closed in 1995, but they say that the tortured spirits are still there, and they even have tours of the penitentiary so you can experience the spirits yourself.
Oh, joy.
Right.
What a gay time.
Right. And then 140 miles away in Weston, West Virginia, is the Trans-Allegheny Lunatic Asylum, also known as the Weston State Hospital.
Ooh,
yes.
A penitentiary and a hospital.
Yes.
How far away?
About 140 miles apart.
Hmm.
Thousands of people with a mental illness was housed there. They actually opened in 1864, and a lot of people died there before they closed in 1994. So just a year before the Moundsville Penitentiary closed.
I was just going to say.
Yep. They say that there are ghosts there that haunt that site that date back to the Civil War, where the asylum actually served as a military post.
Mm-mm-mm.
And guess what? They also have tours.
Oh, good.
Yes.
We should go and do them on the same day. That was not a nice look.
Yes, the Lunatic Asylum, they do overnight paranormal adventures.
So what kind of stuff went on there?
At the Lunatic Asylum?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, use your imagination.
Well, I've heard about, you know, other places, not nice things went on.
No.
It was a lot of, like,
especially
experiments.
In the 1800s? Ugh. I can't
mm-hmm.
imagine. The torture and the screams and...
Dude, some of the things that people did and still do, like, it's not even... I can't even say past tense. I can't. It's horrible.
Yeah, I don't want to know.
Mm-mm. I'll have to tell you. Did I tell you about the series I listened to from another podcast recently that had me so messed up?
Oh, gosh. What happened?
Oh, my God. Okay, you guys... If you are not listening to Color Me Dead podcast, you need to be. And I'm going to say this. I listened to their series on David Parker Ray, serial killer, serial rapist, serial just jacked up in the head. And oh my God, it was so brutal. The stuff that he did to women, so brutal. And the stuff that we know about as the public is the stuff that was tame enough to be released.
Ugh.
And it was so graphic and horrific. I'm like, that's the stuff that you could release?
Where was this at?
Oh, God. I don't even remember. I'm not even going to listen to it again to tell you. But, you know, it's probably something we can Google, I'm sure.
But that disturbing.
Dude, it was so awful. It was horrible, horrible. Like, and I had, like, we had messaged a few times, like, me and the girls that do the show.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, I don't even know how you guys got through the research for this. Like, I didn't have enough emojis to express, like, the torment I felt. And just thinking about what these women had gone through, what he did to these women. Oh, my God. And I can't even tell you, like, the stuff that they released. I'm like, this is the stuff that was tame that you could actually release. It's crazy. They did such a great job covering like putting that series together.
Yeah.
Such a great job. If you guys don't listen to Color Me Dead podcast, it's true crime. Such a good podcast. So, so good. But David Parker Ray, listen at your own risk because holy crap. Ooh. So, so disturbing. Not even funny. Ooh, 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 ooh. So then let's get back to the safe stuff, the ghosts. Because that junk. Woo. Okay, so here's another story that I found. And this one uses this one divination tool that I have sworn to never go near.
Ouija?
Yes. Why? Why do they do it? Oh, okay. We did about 3 Ouija board sessions in our dorm freshman year. After that, we started hearing carousel music, which let me just stop and say, carousel music on any day is freaking creepy.
even when you're on the carousel?
Even when you're on it. Don't you think it's like... It doesn't just feel, it just doesn't feel cheerful to me.
It can get creepy.
Yeah, right? I feel like a freaking doll is about to come out and do something.
Yeah, and you're on a horse that doesn't move.
Right, that's in like this creepy pose. It's not right.
Like he's galloping.
Right. In the air.
Yes.
Attached to a pole.
Yes. So hang on, kids. Because you're about to go around in circles. Things,
to some creepy ass music. Things have not gone well.
With mirrors.
Oh, right.
With mirrors.
Oh, it's been a long time since I've seen a carousel. With mirrors, you're right.
Yes.
So you can watch yourself look terrified as you go around on this static horse. It's not good. Do you like how I use static?
We're creeping. We're creeping ourselves out.
No, this is much better to me than talking about like that other case. Anyway, so after these geniuses did the 3 Ouija sessions, they start hearing carousel music, growling, laughing, all when like, you know, someone was in the dorm room by themselves. No. It's just no. Right. My roommate Jackie also heard a little girl singing along to a song with her when she was driving. Also one night she felt a child grab her hand. Come on.
She wanted to go to the carousel.
I think she went by Annabelle. Oh. Throughout all of this, I kept seeing apparitions. A man in uniform standing next to my closet and a girl with long black hair standing at the foot of my bed. We were right next to Kennesaw Mountain, the site of a major battle. So I figured the man in uniform was a soldier who had perished in battle. As for the girl, I have no idea. Okay, so I'm going to say this. You just don't know how to tell this ghost story because what in the hell happened with the growling and the carousel music and the whatever the heck else, the laughing? What happened to all that? She goes from that creep stuff to like, oh, there was a man and a girl. And then that's it. What did it stop? Did it keep going? Did they move?
So was the growling and all this stuff happening at the same time? Or at different, were they different instances? I mean, they obviously unlocked some crap when they did the Ouija sessions. Mm-hmm. They unlocked some stuff. Mm-hmm. They brought stuff forth.
Yeah. Not the good stuff.
Doesn't sound like it.
I don't have a loved one on the other side or an angel or a guide that plays creepy music to me or laughs in the night or growls. They don't do that.
No, none of my peeps.
None of
do
the
that.
Light beings do no. stuff like that.
No, none of mine do.
Mm-mm. It's not a thing. Only the low energies do that, and not all low energies. Some of them have more class. I'm like, listen, tell me some stuff. You know, don't leave it at that. What the heck? Mm. Okay, here's another one. About 5 years ago, my family was caring for my brother's dog, a German Shepherd Husky Chow Chow mix, an incredibly gentle dog who never barked. One day, me and my sister came home from school, and like every other day, he greeted us through the stair rails and came about halfway down the stairs where he laid down and watched us. Just as we put our backpacks down, we heard it. The little spot upstairs right before the steps that let you know you weren't alone creaked. And right after the creak, the shuffling followed, like something running away after getting caught. Me and my sister just stood there. I wanted to scream and run out of the house, but we stood there frozen, not knowing what to do. Then the dog immediately stood up and bared his teeth. He was facing towards the stairs and all of the hair on his back started to rise. He chased whatever it was, barking and growling the whole time. It sounded like he was going to freaking kill something. Then out of nowhere, he stopped and came down the stairs and stayed by our sides until our dad came home an hour later. Of course, our dad didn't believe us. Stuff like that never happened to him, so it didn't exist. That is one of the creepiest things that ever happened to us, and it never happened again after that day.
Well, because that puppy saved their lives.
No kidding. Dude, can you imagine like that happening in your home alone? You've got no German Shepherd or Husky or Chow Chow or any kind of mix or a Pomeranian missing a tooth. None of that. You're alone and you hear that crap. No.
No, out the door I go.
Right. And I appreciate that that was their first thought, like go for the door, except they were paralyzed with fear.
Right.
They're I can respect it.
Oh, yeah. No, I can get that. No, I get that.
I can respect it.
I get that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I've got the Villisca X murder house.
Ooh.
This one creeps me out.
Sounds like a good time.
So the summer of 1912, there's a white frame house on East 2nd Street in Villisca. I might be pronouncing that wrong. Where 8 people were murdered in bed.
Good Lord.
And the murderer was never found. The murder of Josiah Moore, his wife, and their 4 children, plus 2 young girls who were friends of the children, having a sleepover. And
where was this?
Iowa. In Iowa. Villisca, Iowa. And they never found the murderer. Over the years, the residents of the home reported visions of a man with an axe. They hear children crying and all kinds of unexplained activity. In 1994, Darwin and Martha Lynn acquired the house and restored it to its original condition, even with no plumbing or electricity.
What the crap?
I know. So this house can only be lit with lamps, you know, old time lamps and whatnot. Mm-mm. So they give tours of the house April through November. And they say it's very creepy. But with the family, it was said that, you know, they were very involved in their church it was either a maid or a relative, you know, had come over. And she said it was very quiet the next day. You know, she knocked on the door, nothing happened. She went ahead and did the chores outside because they didn't get done. And the door was locked. So she calls a relative and says, hey, there's something wrong here. So they get into the house and they go into the parents' bedroom. And that's when they discover the murders. And they go through the house and find that everybody had been murdered.
Were they in their beds, like tucked in and stuff?
Yeah. They're in their beds. And and then
I think I'm familiar with this story.
Really? Mm-hmm. And then so the police come and the townspeople are now scared to death because mm-hmm. they don't know who did it. And the townspeople actually become divided because since they never found the mm-hmm. murderer, they're starting to turn on each other. Mm-mm-mm. They start to carry guns. And I mean, it's like Wild Wild West. It was definitely a town divided for many, many years. And they never figured out who did it, who, mm-hmm. what, when, where.
Interesting. So Jerry and Tracy Polly with Hillbilly Horror Stories mm-hmm. recently, and I mean recently, like within the last few weeks, did an episode like this where they were talking about an axe murderer who went on like a killing spree for like 50 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, like spanned all the way to Germany or something.
I wonder if this was one of them.
Yes, that sounds super familiar. And I was asking if they had been tucked in because it was something like that. Like he would tuck them in and like would eat and crap. Like, and you know what I mean? Like eat a meal, like make a meal and crap in their house. And
crazy.
Mm-hmm. So that sounds very familiar.
Well, they never found him.
That was typical. I mean, I think in the end, they still never figured out who it was. I mean, I'd have to listen to the episode again, but that was super crazy. I was like, what the? And who has the energy to like kill for 50 years? It's like too much. even like one and then try to hide it. Come on. It's just a lot.
I don't know. Well, this one happened back in 1912. So if he went on for 50 years,
mm-hmm.
that puts him in the 60s, if this was his first one.
I'll have to listen to that episode again. They did a really good job of covering that. And what was really cool is that it was like all these individual murders like that,
mm-hmm.
like a family here, a couple there, whatever. And they happened in different towns, like different cities.
Mm-hmm.
And then eventually, like, they started linking them together. And when Hillbilly Horror Stories covered it, they were able to link even more potential or potentially link other cases that could be by the same killer.
So this could be related.
Mm-hmm. It could be. That's crazy.
Ew.
Oh, I don't like axes and axe murder.
So when have you ever been to a Renaissance?
Be good.
A Renaissance festival?
No.
I went to one when I lived in Maryland. Mm-hmm. I went to this Renaissance festival. It's a huge thing every year up
there.
Is
it fun? It looks kind of fun.
Well, it was fun for me for one, you know, a one-time deal. I don't think I wasn't interested in going back every year. But they're dressed in their period garments.
Did you have big turkey legs?
Oh yeah, oh yeah, oh heck yeah! And for their games, you know, they don't play blow up the balloon with a water pistol. They had a throwing the axe game.
I was gonna say, was it like a shoot the apple off your
yes,
head or something?
It was bow and arrows, you know, yeah. shoot stuff. So I went and threw the axe.
Get out.
And I did not know. I was pretty damn good at it.
Oh, I can see that.
Those were some heavy axes. And well, I worked out a lot back then. I was much more fit back then. And I hit it good mm-hmm. consistently. It wasn't a fluke. It's like, okay, that's a scary thing about myself. I didn't know.
What were you aiming at?
Oh, it was a target.
I mean, just an apple on someone's head.
Like, no, I mean, it was, you know, like with the arrows, you know, big mm-hmm. old bullseye painted on the back wall.
Mm-mm. I think I would suck at throwing an axe.
In the shape I'm in now, I probably can't even pick one up, much less throw it.
How much does an axe weigh?
It was heavy. It was heavy.
So easily 4 pounds.
Right.
Easily a tiny dumbbell. Maybe 5.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Yeah. I did not know that about you.
Yeah. I didn't know that about myself.
Two things I've learned about you since we started podcasting. Maybe more. But one, you are a badass throwing an axe. And two, that you used to be in the wedding dress business.
Yep. Once upon a time.
That's crazy. Is that how you alter dresses? Was with an axe?
Yeah, right.
I'm just going to cut this off for you.
Yep. Yeah, stand still. We're gonna turn it into a miniskirt. Don't move.
That's awesome. A miniskirt. I don't think I've heard that phrase in a long time. It's probably because I haven't worn a miniskirt in a long time. I never like skirts or dresses. Dresses are okay, but they're just not my thing.
I can be in the mood. It depends on how I feel when I wake up that day.
I just like, you know, jeans, t-shirt, some Chuck Taylors. In my heart, I would love to like Kardashian it up and like straighten my hair and do my makeup and junk. And like in my heart, I'm like, yeah, let's do this. And then I'm like, no.
That's a lot of effort.
Every day. I mean, they look amazing. They're so beautiful, but well,
they've got teams of people to make them look
that
way. They
do. I need a team. That's what I need. It's going on my Christmas list. I need a team of people.
The Kardashian team, please.
Yes. The Edwins specifically.
Yep. No ghosts. But, no ghosts. Just the Kardashian team.
It's the Kardashian team. And only from the neck up. I can't run around in heels all day. That's crazy talk. I just don't even know how women do it.
Oh, they just risk.
Or men too. The men that want to wear heels. I don't know how any of you do it. It's crazy. I don't like it. Anyway, so on with the ghosts. When my mom was about 3, my grandma began reading The Exorcist.
Dun, oh, dun, dun. Here we go.
So The Exorcist, you guys, in case you forgot, this is the Christmas classic. Came out December 26, 1973. A Jolly Time. It's a good family flick.
Yeah, right.
If you're talking about the Dark family. So my grandma began reading The Exorcist when all of a sudden she heard humming from my mom's room. Right now, I'm just going to tell you, no, this might be a time. If I had a kid and I heard humming, I might leave my kid behind. I'm like, come on, dogs, we're out of here, and leave the kid. So my grandma, she went in. My mom was waving her arms at the end of her bed. When my grandma asked what she was doing, she said, dancing with her. My grandma asked, dancing with who? With the black mama. How is she black, hun? Like her skin? And she says, no, mommy, like her heart.
Oh, great. God.
My grandma burned the book. What's creepier is that my cousin and sister have both claimed to see the black mama. Both of them wave their arms. No. No. Mm-mm.
They're dancing with a ghost.
Dancing with a ghost. And they call her the black mama because her heart is black. Seriously.
Yeah, no, does not compute. Sorry.
No. No.
No, mm-mm. It does not compute at all.
Mm-mm.
New Orleans.
Ooh.
Nolens.
Dun, dun, dun.
There's a place called Sultan's Palace.
And it was a dark and stormy night.
On Dauphine Street with your classic wrought iron balconies and, mm-hmm. and whatnot.
Those are pretty.
Yes, they are. Well, in the 1800s, this house, they call it a house of horrors for a sultan, a wealthy man who was very sick in the head. He had multiple wives and children, a harem, and I won't even say what else. It's disgusting.
Mm.
Some held against their will.
Mm.
So the neighbors complained about the habits of this sicko. And, he liked partying. He liked opium. He liked torture.
Who doesn't?
But the great mystery of the house is how the Sultan died. He was buried alive in the courtyard after the family and the harem were hacked to pieces by an unknown person.
What the?
They still don't know.
Hacked with an axe?
I'm going to assume so. We'll make it an axe just for tonight.
So hacked with a pencil.
That's right. They say that even today, his angry ghost is responsible for weird noises, for loud music, for incense smells that come from the house. And even today, if females walk into that house, they swear that there's unwelcome advances toward them with the Sultan.
Jesus Christ.
Groping them and mm-hmm. whatnot. So yeah, if you're a female and you walk into this house, then you might get filled up by the Sultan.
First of all, I love how you read that real slow, like gave it like a creep factor.
So,
oh god,
200 miles away.
Well, there's more.
Yeah, well,
but wait, there's more. Yeah,
well, if they're in close proximity and 200 miles away, it's Louisiana.
No, yeah. I like it. Yeah, I like it.
Louisiana.
You're about to get
haunted,
the
haunted.
You're
haunted.
about to get the free flashlight, guys.
Yeah.
Just so, listen. But wait, there's more.
So any folks from Louisiana who can tell me how to pronounce this, I would greatly appreciate it. The Calcio Courthouse. So her name was Tony Jo Henry. Tony Jo. You know how Southerners like.
Her name was Lola.
Coco Cabana.
Can I ask you really quick?
What?
Where's the crystal that's supposed to be in your necklace?
You mean there's no crystal in my necklace?
Where is it? Oh, you're holding it. I just noticed. I'm like,
the ghost took it.
Someone stole it.
Tony Jo Henry has it.
What a thief.
So Tony Joe was from Lake Charles. This happened in the 1940s, and she killed a man in cold blood, but she was drop dead gorgeous. And she was a prostitute, and she, I mean, she could just charm people, charm men into doing whatever she wanted. You were going to say,
so she could just kill people. I was so sure that's what was coming. Dang it.
So she sweet talked this man, with a pickup truck to give her a ride, so that she could set free her true love, who was in a Texas prison.
And he agreed?
Of course.
What a...
And, well, anyway, she did kill this man in cold blood, but she was so beautiful and so convincing, it took 3 trials for a jury to find her guilty.
I bet it was a jury... every time of like all men.
Oh, right.
And she pulled like the basic instinct move. Remember?
Right. Yeah.
Dirty Jezebel.
Yeah. Beaver shot.
The eager beaver.
Right. So, I mean, even the town was divided.
I'm so tired.
So oh, the town was even divided over her guilt. I mean, it really separated the town.
This is the second story you've told where the town is separated.
Oh, I know. I guess when there's murder involved but I mean, people wanted to believe.
I guess when there's murder involved.
No, people wanted to believe her.
Not me.
No.
I can see through her viciousness.
Right. You know what her nickname was? Tiger Girl.
What?
Yes. What the hell?
Okay.
The murderous beauty, Tiger Girl. Oh,
I think he said the murderous beaver.
And she was the first woman in Louisiana to die by electric chair.
Oh, right. You said it took 3 times before they found her guilty.
Right? Yep.
Because finally, the women got together and said, get out of the way.
Yeah, right?
Let us handle this.
So they say that her ghost is still in that courthouse and she is pissed off.
Why is she pissed? Because she didn't get her way?
Right. She is mad.
Why did Tiger Girl is what you said?
Tiger Girl. Tony Joe. Tony Joe Henry.
Is it Tiger like after Tony the Tiger? I don't understand that nickname.
I don't know.
Does she claw people in the afterworld?
Could have been. But the courthouse employees to this day say they feel her presence. They hear her scream. And this is the worst part. They smell her burning hair.
Jesus. Yikes.
She messes around with their office equipment.
And with the guys.
Yeah, right. She locks the doors on them. And she meddles with their daily routines at this courthouse.
What a bleach.
Right?
Mm-mm. I don't care for her.
Yeah, she's not very nice.
Mm-mm. Beauty does not give you a pass.
No.
Well,
she tried.
She got away with a lot.
Well, in the end, first woman in the state of Louisiana to die by electric chair.
Well,
so now the courthouse is haunted by her burning hair.
Her and her beef.
Right?
Good Lord. That was a lot to handle. I don't even... Jesus. When did she die?
1942.
Oh, that was a long time ago.
Yeah.
Hmm. She got away with a lot. I'm just a little puzzled.
Well, pretty women can get away with a lot of things.
I guess. Okay. When I was 16, I was living with my brother, his girlfriend, and her mother. I was upstairs in the second story living room at 5 a.m. and I hear a noise like something falling downstairs. So I go look on my way out to the garage to smoke a cigarette and pick up a lighter off the counter. On my way back in, I went to go put the lighter back on the counter, and in its place was a knife.
A knife just magically showed up.
Magically delicious. Mm-hmm. I thought nothing of it, but as I turned my back, it slid off the counter and onto the floor. I got freaked out and had a friend come over. When I opened the door for him, We both saw a shadow walk across from my room to another bedroom because you could see the upstairs ceiling from the front door. The next night, the attic door came down on its own and the light turned on and off. The end. Listen, learn to tell a story. What in the hell? What is this? This answers nothing for me. Maybe that's what makes it so creepy. I'm like, what happened then?
Yeah. Now then what? What came out of the right. attic?
And then?
I'll tell you what came out of the attic. Tony Jo Henry came out of the attic. With Tony, her burnt hair.
Tony and the Beeve.
And pissed off.
That was, that I just cannot get over that story. That was a good one. That was a good one. All right. So before we wrap up part one of part two, one of two of the ghost stories, we're going to leave you with this one. My family and I have always been prone to spirits in our house. When I was a baby, we moved into a duplex and my deaf brother had the room on the wall that was connected to the other side. And by the other side, they don't mean the other side. I mean the next house over. After a few weeks, the neighbors asked my parents to keep the music down because it was waking them up. My mom told them that they weren't playing music and my brother had that room. 16 years later, I'm pregnant and have been experiencing creepy stuff. My dad died when I was 3 of a heart attack. We still lived in the duplex at the time. Neighbors came and went, and we had new ones that we babysat for. I kept seeing my dad in the mirror in the downstairs bathroom and on my mom's bed. What? On the bed? What the heck? I don't care for that. My sister and I both have felt someone hug us and whisper, I love you. Oh, that's aww. Nice. I know, that's not so scary. That to me never really freaked me out. I was fine till one night things went wrong. I was walking down the hall at night to the bathroom. Something told me to check on my brother, so I did. I heard him laughing and staring in the dark. So I assume she's talking about her deaf brother.
Okay.
All of a sudden, a man's face appeared in the darkness. I ran back to my room where my boyfriend was sleeping. I tried to fall asleep, but was too scared. An hour later, my door started to rattle and the hall sounded like a bowling alley.
What?
What? Little tiny wavy lightning bolts were waving in the corner where my door was connected to the wall. Things in my closet started to shake and fall. I tried to wake up my boyfriend, but he was passed out. I yelled, but my mom and sister didn't hear me. No one did. Then I heard two women's voices outside my window, which was on the second story, say, shall we get her now? No. Dude, I just got the chills. Ugh. I sat there and prayed hard. The next morning, my neighbor was walking across the floor and cut open his foot on a metal teardrop that burnt a hole in his carpet.
Huh?
What? I also found, which to this day scares me, a man's face with a medieval helmet on it on the grain in the front door. The grain of my door. Sorry. I made my mom buy a house. I was not bringing my baby home to that place. We now live in a townhouse with at least two spirits. One is a geisha and one is a teenage boy named Ricky. He wrote his name on my back and has a cologne scent only my teen daughter can smell. This house is getting so bad, we're going to have to move again. Listen.
Okay. Somebody's carrying it with him.
Mm-hmm. Shall we get her now? What the crap?
No.
I don't even know what to say to that. That's creepy.
That is creepy.
Mm-mm. No. And then she saw the face of the guy with the medieval helmet, like, ingrained on her door. I made my mom buy a house. Listen.
Yeah.
No, I did not care for that.
No.
Shall we get her now? I may never forget that line. Ever, ever. Oh my God.
Yeah, we're up here scaring ourselves.
I know. It's a lot. It's a lot. Mm-hmm. All right, you guys, that is the end of Ghost Stories Part One. But don't be afraid. We're coming back with Part Two.
Uno.
Part Two.
Friends, thank you so much for joining us for another awesome episode of The Media Matters. We hope you guys enjoyed part one of Ghost Stories. And seriously, have no fear. We're going to drop part two on Thursday because every Thursday deserves some ghost stories. So be on the lookout for that on Thursday, the 19th of October at 8 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, Stitcher, wherever you find amazing podcasts, Podknife, wherevs. Make sure you check us out because we're going to be dropping part two of Ghost Stories. Please make sure you subscribe to and review the show on iTunes. Your reviews really do mean the universe to us, and they help us to keep growing and find new friends because, you know, that's what people gravitate to, right? Right? When you're going to buy something, you go check out the reviews. And if it's got a bunch of five stars and hundreds of reviews, you go with that one. So we are looking for the same thing, you guys. We just want to make sure that people are finding us and, you know, all the good stuff. Make sure you review the show. Make sure you review every podcast you're listening to because it really is so important and it means everything to us. Don't forget to keep up with the show on Twitter and Facebook. You can find us at Media Matters on both sites. And also, email us your questions, topic suggestions, paranormal stories, and so much more at themediummatters.com. And friends, lastly, make sure you visit our Patreon page at patreon.com/themediummatters for exclusive content just for our financial supporters. What does that mean? It means that when you guys support us, we get to do things like upgrade our equipment, pay for some research and pay for some merchandise and get some cool stuff out to you guys, do some meetups and do some just exclusive, really, really fun things that we don't get to do right now because we are starving artists. So that said, we really do appreciate all the love you guys show us, and we're using our Patreon page to show it right back. Let us know if there are rewards you guys would like to see on that Patreon site, and we will work to make it happen if it makes sense for the masses, because we want to make as many people happy as we possibly can. We do love each and every one of you, our Patreon supporters, and everyone in between. Thank you so much for tuning in week after week and showing us all of your love. And I promise you, we're showing it right back every single moment of every single day because you guys mean everything to us. With that, you guys, thank you so much for joining us again for another kick-ass episode. Until next time, love and light to one and all. Good night, my friends.